For the officers, in terms of the reply report, can you address the issue, please, of the reference to intensive winter grazing in Rule 20, which is an unqualified reference, and consider whether or not that should be linked to Rule 23, namely it should be intensive winter grazing that's not otherwise permitted by Rule 23, rather than just an open-ended reference at the moment. Right, the next submitter is Neil and Cheryl Peer. Good morning and welcome. Other submitters, I'm not sure how long you've been sitting in the room, but we've read the original submission, so thank you very much for that. You don't need to reread that to us, but you're very welcome to speak to the submission and let us know the key points that you want us to bear in mind.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to read it because it's been done under a very tight deadline. Right, we're a family-owned operation comprising of ourselves and our children, James, Alyssa and Hamish. And we farm 1,664 hectares at Wendon, ranging from 200 to 650 metres. We are a generational farming family, and 520 hectares of our land has been in the Baird family since 1942. We've added another 985 hectares in 2014, which we intend to treat in the same way as our original land, in a sustainable manner to pass on to future generations. We run a sheep and beef operation, running 14,500 stock units, and our land is rolling to steep, which dictates how we're able to farm. At present, we have approximately 57 hectares of native bush, which we are protecting for the native wildlife, and currently do annual bird counts to gauge that bird numbers are remaining stable and not declining. Every farm is different in all aspects, from soil types to gradient to stocking rates to rainfall, just as every farmer is different in his farming approach. Under Environment Southland's new land and water plan, there is an implication that all farmers are bad and impacting on the environment. This is far from the truth. Many farmers have many practices in place to lower the impact that their operation may have on the environment. We do not support Rule 23, the intensive winter grazing, in which you can only cultivate 50 hectares without consent. In our current farming operation, we currently cultivate a minimum of 150 hectares of crop, which is solely to feed our own stock. Winter is when we have our lowest stocking rate on the property, and as we are rolling to steep, we don't get the high yielding crops that can be achieved on the lower altitudes with better soil types. If we need to cut the area we cultivate, we are going to need to grow higher yielding crops on the flatter land, sow lots of nitrogen to ensure we get the higher yielding crops, and feed a lot more supplements in smaller areas, causing more pugging. Our flatter land is all surrounded by creeks, and this would certainly have a detrimental effect on the environment. On the higher hill country, it is much drier in the winter and less pugging and less runoff. The proposed buffer distances are also impractical, meaning that in effect we're going to need to cultivate more paddocks to reap the same amount of crop. The 50 hectare rule is penalising bigger landholders, whether they're looking after the environment or not. The plan should not be about penalising large landholders and asking them to gain consent. It should be looking at each individual farm. Those that own 50 hectares can cultivate their whole property and do all winter grazing, meaning their highest stocking rates would be in the winter, while we would not be able to feed our stock. This will have an effect with larger holdings having to decrease their stock numbers or send them out to graziers, making their farms uneconomical. And although you say you can apply for a consent, supposedly this consent comes at a cost, which in turn is going to have a flow-on effect. Every cent spent on consents is dollars not spent in the community. And this is not solving the problem, it's simply moving it around. The rule will also have an effect on the value of land. When farmers are buying land, they will have to factor in the costs of consents, grazing and stocking rates, which is going to impact on the value of properties. Surely looking at a realistic percentage base to the size of farm instead of a blanket rule would be more realistic. We also need to be taking into consideration the land types. A hill country property will never produce like the fertile flats with heavier soils, so this needs to be factored into the calculation. And we fail to see how farmers applying for consents is going to help the environment. All it is helping Environment Southland's bank account and not addressing the problem. We also oppose Rule 25, cultivation on sloping ground. Approximately 30% of our cultivated land falls over 16 degrees, Most of our slopes don't run down to creeks, they run onto flatter ground that will buffer any runoff and nitrate losses. When we cultivate, we do not break the soil too fine in an effort to try and prevent soil moving in the event of heavy rain. We need to work a steeper ground to keep it clear of gorse as the photos show. Gorse seed remains in the ground for many years and is a constant battle. By turning these paddocks over, it helps to prevent it getting out of control. A stock will eat the young gorse seedlings, but once let get away, it takes over the land very quickly and you lose the battle and end up with nothing to graze, as illustrated in the photos. And somewhere, we have some photos. You can see the worked land. That's a very poor chow crop that the deer from the neighbours are coming in and eating. And the gorse is in the neighbours of some land that hasn't been worked in about 12 years.
That's a native bush.
Sorry, it's a native bush block. You can see that that's across the fence and land that hasn't been worked for 12 years. You can see how the gorse is getting away. It hasn't been turned over.
Is that the boundary?
That is the boundary, yes. The steeper slopes are usually a lot drier in the winter time for grazing, so we graze the flats when it is drier and move to the hill as the winter progresses to prevent pugging and runoff in an effort to be better for the environment. If we can't grow the crops on the steeper ground, we will need to winter heavily on our lower land, causing greater damage. We do not see the advantage of only 5% of the paddock can be over 20 degrees. Whole paddocks could be over 20 degrees, but the paddocks below may be flatter and will buffer any runoff before it can reach a waterway. And if you're going to use a percentage, surely it would be better to use a percentage of the total ground work on that farm. Implications that all farmers are harming the environment with no regard for these that have practices in place to reduce environmental impact. The flow-on effect to rural Southland would be huge if farmers have to pay for consents to go about their daily business and destock because under the new plan they can't feed their own stock, which in turn will lead to a reduction in staff, which in turn affects the rural schools and businesses. And it will not only affect the farming communities, but will have a flow-on effect with less exports, tourism, hospitality and the likes. Tourists are not going to want to come to New Zealand to see gorse-laden landscapes with poor stock that farmers can't feed. We fail to see how this consent process is helping the environment. Would we not be better to have a best practice approach, allowing farmers to look at each individual case and take the appropriate action? And perhaps an audit system, where farmers are audited, say, maybe every 3 years. Environment Southland would soon see which farms need to be worked with and educate the farmers instead of taking a Hitler approach. Bringing in a consents-based farming system is going to add a huge burden and stress to farmers who are already under many pressures. The vast majority of farmers farm to the best of their ability, often dealing with very challenging financial and environmental conditions. We don't think that Environment Southland have taken into account what effect this plan is going to have on the communities of Southland, with no proof that we will have a better, cleaner, greener environment. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you wish to add anything?
No, I'll just answer questions.
It's a wise course of action. Lloyd, any questions?
Yes, I just want to pick up what you referred to at a reasonably high level, which is virtually unintended consequences. If I'm picking up the theme of what you've said, is that you feel as if you're pushed to do something that you don't like to do, but the rules, you perceive the rules to actually push you there. Is that a fair summation of what you've indicated? You made a couple of references to the if the crop area was such, you would have to go and have a high yielding crop.
Yeah.
So you're effectively saying, I'd like to do this, but I'm being forced to do that.
Yeah.
Well, and you indicated that other option may not be as good for the environment. You actually felt that what you were doing was better. So an unintended consequence is basically you're asked to do something, but the reality is it's actually worse.
Yeah, well, that's the way we feel, because we're going to be pushed to get high yielding crops on our flat, wetter ground. In the winter, it's going to be a lot worse for the environment and for us than on the hill where it's drier, where we get probably only 10, 12 tonne crops and don't feed supplement so that it's dry and the stock don't make a mess, there's no runoff, and that's a lot better for the environment than being down fairly close to the creek with a lot of mud and a lot of just mess.
Okay. My last question is, you said you did about 100, a large area of crop.
A minimum of 150. 50.
Yeah. Could you just give us a snapshot of what range of crops you grow with and what you class in that?
We grow 40 hectares of fodder beet.
Yep.
There's 35 hectares of kale and the rest of sweets. Yep. And then that all goes back into young grass next year.
And how long would that cropping cycle last? Obviously, it's at least 3 years, is that correct?
In one paddock?
Yes.
No, we try to do it every year.
So it's a one-off?
Yeah, well, with that block we bought 3 years ago, we're trying to get young grass into it. So we're, yeah.
1 year cropping then?
Yeah, grass. Moving in a fast cycle at the moment. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Hill.
Peter Spring, thank you. I note you seem to express a bit of concern about operating to a rules-based system and suggested an audit process. And so, would you not need some rules for the people doing the audit? Or would you just like them to come in and with subjectivity and say, well, we don't like this?
No, there certainly has to be guidelines. Right. But, yeah. You know, the guidelines in this instance are very tight. Like, we certainly couldn't do air farming operation. And if we can't feed our stock, what do we do with those stock? You know, dead stock's not a good look for anybody, is it?
No.
Or we have to send them out to graze, which is in effect, we're not bettering the environment by doing that. That's what you're trying to stop or trying to...
I'm not trying to do anything. I'm asking questions about setting some rules.
Yeah. No, don't forget it's me wrong. I'm not against rules. I just think that these rules in our case are too tight.
Yeah. So
there needs to be flexibility.
So why would you have some opposition to take someone having a look at your farm and you putting in a consent for 15 years of this is how we've done it, we want to do it this way for the next 15 years and take out all that subjectivity?
Are we going to get a consent for 15 years or are we going to have to do it every year?
Well, I'm asking.
But that's what we haven't been told.
And that is our concern.
Yeah, fair enough.
If every year we need to apply for a consent,
but we're listening here and that consent, try and get some rules.
That consent costs yay amount.
Okay.
It's going to have an economic effect.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
The concern you have is a commonly held concern by many submitters who fear that consents will be short term, maybe 1 or 2 years. Our understanding of the plan is that there's nothing in the plan that dictates a short duration consent of that nature.
But there's also nothing implying to us that there's a long-term duration.
Yeah.
And that's where it needs to be clear.
No, I'm good, thanks.
Any clarification?
If there were a 10% intensive winter grazing rule instead of the 50 hectare limit, how would you consider that if it's your particular circumstance?
If
there
was
an 1,800 hectare farm, 10% of your...
Well, that would be 10% would be 160 hectares, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
which is about what we're doing. So, yeah.
It's more realistic.
That's more realistic. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that Environment Southland don't want to be doing consents every year for it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're about to because they'd all come in at the same 2 weeks.
Not possible.
Yeah.
You haven't said anything about farm management planning, but from what you're saying, it seems to me that you would be in favour of that sort of thing. Obviously, there's one proposed in the plan, but there are beef and lamb plans as well. Are you familiar with those?
We were well on the way to having a farm management plan completed when all this process started, so we halted it because there's no point us continuing with that plan until we know what is required under this.
All right, thanks.
And thank you very much. I don't have any further questions for you, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just to update submitters, we're going to break for morning tea at 10:30 this morning, so that's a little bit different than what's on the schedule. The next submitter on my list is G.